We are Silicon Valley entrepreneurs who teamed up with a gifted spirit channeler to fulfill a mission telegraphed to us from the other side of the veil. It's a mission to enlist the help of extraordinary leaders from history in common cause to heal our planet and ourselves. Now we are sharing with you what they told us on this, the Channeled Messages of Hope podcast. Hi, I'm your host, John Thomas, and I remember the 1960s. I bore witness to the power of people acting together in common cause for civil rights, peace, and justice, inspired by leaders like Martin Luther King. By coming together as one, we made our voices heard. The peaceful protests, based on non-compliance and equality, followed the example set by an unassuming lawyer whose endeavors for civil rights led to India's independence from British colonial rule. He is Mohandas Gandhi. He died in 1948, and we spoke with him through Sam, our spirit channeler, in 2023, and he is the focus of today's episode. Let's start with how he sees the state of the planet today. Here's a clip of him speaking through Sam.
The state of the planet is a reflection of how we are treating each other, and the state of the planet is not in accordance with peace at this time. We must look at our reflection like a mirror, and we must see that we are doing this to ourselves. The planet is reflecting what we are doing, because we are not treating each other with equality and kindness, and we are not living in peace, and our planet, our Earth, is reflecting this.
Mr. Gandhi's insight that the planet is mirroring the way we treat each other is similar to the messages we heard from Francis of Assisi and Wayne Dyer. Francis sees the environmental chaos we are experiencing as the manifestation of our mistreatment of the planet. Wayne sees it as a manifestation of the punishment we think we deserve for that mistreatment. Make sure to listen to episode 3 and listen to our book, Channeled Messages of Hope by Carolyn Thomas, to get the full story. Mr. Gandhi's focus is more on our mistreatment of each other. And no wonder, since he dedicated so much of his life to equality and fair treatment. Let's listen to this clip of what he told my wife, Carolyn, through Sam.
Keep in mind that every choice you make, everything you do in regards to our natural resources and waste production is affecting those who have not even been born on this planet yet. Every move you make. Please to know this is so important, because it is not just about you and your life. There are many more to come. And it may be you, incarnating again in a land dump. You don't want that for your life, and you don't want that for others' lives. We want to leave the future beautiful so all souls can experience harmony with nature and with our planet.
During our interview with Mohandas, we asked him about the concepts, philosophies, and principles he taught during his lifetime, such as Satyagraha, the pursuit of truth, Ahimsa, the philosophy of nonviolence, and Sarvodaya, the principle of equality. Along with simplicity, self-reliance, and compassion, Mr. Gandhi offers a roadmap toward a more peaceful, sustainable, and harmonious world. These teachings sparked a peaceful revolution in India and resonated with oppressed people everywhere. And they worked back then, and they still work now. I do realize that the world today is much different than colonial India or the Jim Crow South or the 1960s. But the core issues really are the same. Inequality is a core issue behind climate change, as the world's less wealthy nations bear a greater burden and impact, and the wealthier people can buy their way out of the line of fire. Truth is another core issue, because distortions and lies, they are how the industries causing most of the damage can continue their polluting ways. It's interesting that Mr. Gandhi's autobiography, which is about his lifelong quest to align one's actions with one's convictions based in spirituality and morality, is titled The Story of My Experiments with Truth. In truth, as he saw it, begins with oneself, and his experiment was to come to terms with the truths of his own life and to muster the courage to go public. It did not come easily for him. He acknowledged his personal faults and failings and said that truth, real ultimate truth, is found in putting oneself last. It's found in humility. Realization of truth is the true purpose of life, he writes, and satyagraha is the application of that truth. So maybe the world of today isn't much different than it appears at first glance from the world of the 1960s. And maybe we are getting a look into the reasoning of the Council of Wise Souls on the other side of the veil for choosing Mr. Gandhi as one of their messengers. Today, we look for political solutions to our problems. But Gandhi says that transformation of society begins with the transformation of the individual. In this way, we can all contribute to healing the planet, no matter how much power we have to affect any kind of political change. So, for everyone wanting to answer the call to heal and protect Mother Earth, listen to what the greatest social activist of the 20th century told us.
Yes, yes, satyagraha is very important. It is a solvent for injustice and harm, and it is to defy peacefully and suffer with no retaliation. And this is non-violence, passive resistance. But we need to practice to bring in a more harmonious way of being, to care for the home of humanity as a family, and cause no harm to nature and man, and to emulate Jesus Christ. Like a man, not nature, is to be exploited or destroyed. This is very important. There is a cosmic law, which is all man, all life, all creation, and the law of species, which is the entire universe in a single species, the entire universe being a single species. And this all comes to equal one. We are all one. Bring in unity, the people of the world with the world, with the earth, with the planet. And modern civilization is making everything into waste. And we need to take only what is needed and apologize to the natural resource after we have taken. Vegetarianism is important because the meat industry has put extreme pressure on soil and water resources. The earth is a living thing, and nature and all life forms are of reverence to me, and all nature and man are equal. And to bring us together as one, to honor the nature, to honor man, to live peacefully, and stop the destruction of natural resources without giving thanks to those natural resources when we take them. This is something that I think is very important, that we understand what we are doing and be thankful and in gratitude, and not to waste, to come together as one in harmony and know that the earth is a living thing. This is about truth, living in truth, and being in cooperation and peace and compromise. It can be done with a feeling of one by individuals.
To summarize Mr. Gandhi's instructions, first, resistance is peaceful and passive, but also engaged and active. Even if you participate from the comfort of your couch, you actively seek truth within yourself and share it. But remember, it's not about you, It's about truth with a capital T. Mr. Gandhi never made it about himself. Second, absolutely no retribution. No retribution. Saving the planet isn't about punishing the people and organizations responsible for harming it. Mr. Gandhi says we are a human family, and families forgive. Third, lies about superiority underlie the terrible things we justify doing to the planet and each other. So speciesism, the belief in our own superiority, has to go. And vegetarianism is in. There's another great truth breaking through into awareness at this time. Many of the souls we spoke with mentioned or alluded to it. When Mr. Gandhi says we are all one, he's speaking about a fundamental fact. Oneness is our true nature, and it challenges our most basic assumptions about separateness. Some of the most interesting research in fields of study ranging from physics to psychology to biology is showing that something unifying is behind all of creation. Before the material world takes shape as we know it, something behind the scenes harmonizes it all like an orchestra. Our science has gotten very, very good at taking things apart and looking at them in isolation, but that approach is akin to isolating one instrument in the orchestra and then trying to understand the composition. The music and its brilliance get lost. Now, from scales ranging from atoms to galaxies, we are finding that something behind the scenes is making it all work together. And if the answer proposed by some of humanity's best minds is correct, and we'd think it is, consciousness is what's unifying all of creation. Consciousness itself is fundamental. It's primary, and creation is secondary. Right now, we have it the other way around. This truth shatters the belief underlying how we've built and run this world. Those systems operate under the belief in separateness. The belief that it's okay to create systems that support privilege and exploitation. The belief that suffering is justified in the name of progress or whatever. Penetrate to the bottom of what Mr. Gandhi espoused, found both in our interview with him and in his teachings and in the example he set through the grand experiment he called his life, and put it together with consciousness being primary. And the conclusion is a shattering realization that the world is living a lie. It's a lie driving our destruction. Truth is the antidote for lies, and that truth is found in oneness. Mr. Gandhi said we can all know this truth for ourselves, and it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. It takes silence. As each person spends time in silence, the truth comes forward. It is a wordless truth, something felt and sensed and known personally. Here's our place to focus to affect world-changing transformation. It leads to the understanding Mr. Gandhi reached and taught that we are all equals. It's the fundamental truth. As equals, we extend care and compassion to all life. It happens naturally. And as a conscious being, you too can know this truth. Here's what Mr. Gandhi said about silence.
I believe in the meditation of silence. I believe that 24 hours of silence brings in meditation and quiet thinking and reserving resources, conserving energy consumption. And most of all, the thing that I think is so destructive to us in this day is noise, what you call noise pollution. Being in the quieter things and being in the spirit of appreciation and gratitude, and slowing down the life. The life is far too hectic today. The life does not give us clarity to make decisions for future generations. We are just trying to keep up.
there sure is a lot of noise and disagreement out there that blocks us from not just knowing, but experiencing the truth for ourselves. We get caught up in minutiae and end up arguing about the color of the paint as the house burns. It's a form of collective mental illness. And I'd like to remind you that psychiatrist Dr. Carl Jung said the best way of solving such problems on a personal level is to grow out of them. Rather than endlessly analyzing the problems, focus on growth, and the problems solve themselves. This is what we suggest for all of us at this time, at a collective level. The powers that be in the world want us focused on the things that confuse and divide us as they burn the house down. As an engineer and founder of a Silicon Valley technology company, I'm well aware that the world does not operate the way Mr. Gandhi and the council want it to. Money makes the world you and I operate in go round and round. Success is measured in terms of profits, and esteem is measured in dollars and cents. The people at the top of the pyramid think of themselves as superior because they are very successful at the money game. And out of necessity, we are all forced to participate in that game. Mr. Gandhi is a big believer in self-sufficiency and the collective sharing of resources, while also providing incentive for individual initiative. At some point, we are going to have to confront the reality that our economic system must change if we are to save the planet. Otherwise, capitalism will suck it dry. I don't know what the alternative is, but it's long past the time for that discussion to happen. Recently, I came across research out of Dartmouth College showing that the top 10 fossil fuel companies are responsible for $14 trillion in damage to the environment from heating alone. It doesn't include the damage from wildfires, droughts, and hurricanes caused or exacerbated by greenhouse gas emissions. These companies generate extraordinary wealth for themselves while basically screwing the rest of us. The souls on the other side say that the solution to our energy problem is in development, the replacement for fossil fuels, but it could still be decades away from full implementation. In the meantime, there are some states in the U.S. that are using the research from Dartmouth, which was published in the journal Nature, by the way, as the basis for lawsuits to recoup the damages. This is encouraging news. And also encouraging is the news from another big research study showing that 89% of the people in the world support doing more to help the environment, including 74% of Americans. But they think they are in the minority. The desire for strong action is much stronger than most of us think. So why are we streaking quickly in the other direction? Maybe it has something to do with the $220 million the oil and gas industry spent on influencing the 2024 U.S. election. So you see now why Mr. Gandhi and other enlightened souls say the changes must come first to our consciousness. It's because the system must be changed from the inside out, beginning with inside ourselves. A change of consciousness comes first. Then maybe we can change the system. I'd like to play for you now a clip of Mr. Gandhi's message of hope.
My message of hope would be that if we can live as one with regard to nature, and even if we take a branch of a tree to take a leaf off, it is not necessary to take the entire branch or to take more than one leaf. We ought to just take what we need, and we don't do that. And I think that if we try that, we will find that we come together more and more and more as one with nature. And that is the goal, that is the hope, to come together as one with nature, so that we recognize that nature is a living thing, is a soul. We recognize that we are living things with a soul, and we are all as one with the animals and the nature and the planet. Come together as one. Those who strive for this, they will be the survivors. And those who do not recognize this, they will not be able to adapt to our new world, our new way of living. It will not be something that they can continue to survive in that way of thinking.
I'm John Thomas, your host, and I'd like to conclude this episode with my personal favorite short clip from our conversation with Mohandas. After he told us about the incarnation of himself that lived on Earth after his incarnation as Gandhi, and that it was his last incarnation, he has ascended, meaning his spiritual evolution no longer requires him to physically incarnate. He shared with us that in the afterlife realm, he teaches people how to meditate in silence. So as I was preparing this episode and thinking about what he says in the clip I'm about to play, I realized, probably through some sort of telepathic interaction, that the silence he refers to is our ultimate origin source as spiritual beings. When we tap the silence, we also tap into source. And I'd like to share with you that the night I realized this, I sought the silence within me, connected and recharged. And right when I came out of the meditation, my phone rang. A crisis needed my attention. In the silence, gave me the resources to meet the challenge. In fact, while in the thick of it, I remembered Mohandas' teachings and put them to use to solve the crisis. Compassion, engagement with the heart as well as with the mind, and no retaliation or retribution. And it began with me putting myself in the right place spiritually. Crazy timing, huh? These things seem to happen all the time when you connect with the other side. Read our book, Channeled Messages of Hope, to learn or get this wisdom. Listen to the audiobook. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can grab it at Amazon. These sorts of insights are found all throughout our conversations with the souls on the other side. You really need to experience this for yourself. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to next time. And now here's Mr. Gandhi.
Just because you die does not mean everything goes quiet.